Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Passengers await your flight 00H156. That's flight 00H156. Please approach the gates. Your flight is now ready for boarding.
You're listening to the Out of Home Podcast.
You're listening to the Out of Home Podcast. Are you locked into the Out of Home Podcast?
You're listening to the Out of Home Podcast. Featuring Kieran, Kwame, Yas, and Stephen.
You and them boys are crazy.
And it's, and we're in. Hey, guys. Welcome to the Out of Home Podcast.
Yes.
Kieran.
What up, man?
How's it going, buddy?
I'm all right. It's just me and you today, man. The Splash Bros.
Hey, don't... I feel like when people use the word just, it limits.
Oh, true. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Splash Bros.
Okay. There we go. Yeah.
Steph and Clay. Jordan and Pippen, Jeff Schumann and Martin J.
Loving these sports analogies.
Whatever dynamic duo you want to think of is me and Yaf.
And we're back on your airwaves.
Back on your airwaves. You know what I mean? As Yaf said, it's the Out of Home Podcast. Show brought to you by Four Londoners, capturing, sharing stories of inspiring people while sharing our own. Big shout out to Stephen, who is somewhere in the air. Right
he's
now,
afloat, bruv, yeah.
Yeah.
I hope he is. No, he got through, didn't he?
He got through because there was actually like a madness happening
in Nigeria. He's on his way back to Europe, which I'm sure he's thrilled about.
Yeah.
And there were airport strikes yesterday. It feels like there's if you're from the UK, a strike is nothing now.
Hold on, bro. Let me tell you about my experience coming back home yesterday.
Oh, bro, the people need to see a visual of your shoes. Ladies and gentlemen, lovely listeners, I entered Kieran's humble abode today.
Oh, my humble abode.
Some might call it a mansion in the outskirts of London.
It's not a mansion, but it suffices for a one man.
This is lovely accommodation.
Thank you, my friend.
I've walked into the house.
Yes, as you do.
And upon arrival, Kieran's shoe rack is there.
Yes.
I look at his shoe rack.
Mm. Decorated.
Filled. Decorated. decorated with many of the desirable shoes.
I step clean, man. Well.
You do step clean.
Usually.
You do step clean. And unfortunately, when you're stepping, other people think it's okay to step on you. Because when I looked at these shoes, or when I looked at the shoe rack, there seemed to be one that was calling out to me.
Yes.
And it was because this shoe was absolutely... I can only describe it as it looked as though, bro.
A dirty panda, bro.
It looked as though the man them called you up on Sunday morning and said, yo, someone's bailed on our team. We need you to come and play centre-back for us. And you went and played in your dunks, bro. That's literally how your shoes look right now. That's how they look.
Bro.
I don't know how we got here. I can't remember why we got here.
I said my commute, man. My commute. I was going to tell you about my commute, which actually is part of the story of the pandas being fucking dirty.
So oh, yeah, strikes, that's right.
Strikes, that's man. Shout out to Kwame as well. Big love out to you too. But I'm going to share with you this story. So basically, fam, I was at the office yesterday, Monday. No one actually goes into the office on Monday, but I like to do it because...
Routine,
you know, get up early, get in. Get to work, come home.
Do you know what I clocked about? Because I was thinking about routine this week.
Yeah.
And routine is basically what allows you to be an effective adult.
Exactly.
I realized, I actually clocked it the other day.
Exactly.
It's like without a routine, you're all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
You're not doing things that are productive and you're not being intentional. Like routine, bruv, 3 weeks in of January.
Yes, man.
And I've realized how important routine is.
It's so important, bro.
last, I'm not even just for adults. Let me not be ageist here.
Everybody needs a routine. But the thing is, when you're younger, routines are like in your life anyway because adults place them in there. You go to school.
And they feel controlling. You want to break out of the
routine. Yeah, you don't like it. But then you realise when you have the option or the autonomy, as you may, to step out and do whatever you want. Mm. If you linger around and do nothing for too long, you're going to want that routine back. Yeah. If you are a self-starter or at least someone with some pride, you're going to want a routine, bruv.
And what I'll say is post-pandemic,
yes,
bad habits
are
that people kind of just like... We sort of fell back into normal living last year, I feel.
Yeah.
And there still wasn't these clear guidelines on how everyone should move.
Nah, not at all.
But now I think 2023 is the year of the reset.
Getting back, man. The reset. I like that. I like that.
So anyway, you was on your commute.
I'm still at work and then it gets to 4:30. I say to myself, do you know what? I've been here. No one's here. There's about 3 people. I'm going to leave early so I can go back home, make my dinner and have an early night, right? I needed to read some stuff as well. Very, very responsible, right? So I leave. And there's a few ways I can get back from work. So I'm like right in the middle of Leicester Square. And I can either go Tottenham Court Road, Elizabeth Line, to Farringdon.
Very nice.
And then to Croydon. Or I could go walk to Charing Cross, London Bridge.
It's a nice walk.
Yep.
It's a very nice walk.
Yep. Go to London Bridge to Croydon. Or I can get the 38 to Victoria and get a train all the way home. And then it's a little walk. I got options, bro.
What could you
I got options.
For?
But as a creature of habit, I took the route that I came into work. That morning, which meant I was going to go up to Tottenham Court Road. Anyway, I leave work 4:30, walk up to Tottenham Court Road, walk downstairs to the Elizabeth Line. I usually walk all the way to the end of the platform because I know that's a short old journey to get off at the
other side. Are you the person that aligns your platform position to where you need to get go off at, after?
Yeah.
I got a lot of respect for people.
Yeah, man. Like, it's just, I think I'd rather miss a train.
It's efficiency.
Yeah, I'd rather miss a train and get to my spot.
Yeah.
Than 100%. Be in the wrong spot and then get caught up in the traffic on the other side.
100%.
Anyway, so I'm like waiting at this platform and I've got my headphones in. And the train says 4 minutes, but it hasn't moved for a bit. I'm like, what? That's a bit strange. Turn down my headphones just in time to hear the tannoy that one of the trains has broken down at a previous platform and won't be coming past the platform to Tottenham Court Road for a little while. They said, it's going to be half an hour. I said, that's okay. Do you know what? I'm not going to wait. I have options. I've got options. So I came out of Tottenham Court Road. I said, which way do I want to go home? One of my avenues is exhausted. I could walk to Charing Cross Road or I could just get on a bus. I was a bit tired. I said, let me go to Victoria. I'm sure it's still early. It's about maybe 4:45, maybe 5:00. It's still early. And I'm sure I can get on a train within the next half an hour that will take me pretty much to my front door, right? Mm-hmm. Anyways, I get to Victoria on the 38, had a lovely little bus ride, and lo and behold, there's the train going to be there in 2 minutes. So, quick little jog. I don't usually jog, but I said, this is a train that comes
jog-worthy.
Once every 45, maybe half an hour. And I said, let's go to this one. So I get there, jump on the train, sit down, again, headphones on. And I realized that the train hadn't moved on time. So I was like, okay, it's fine. Maybe there's a little bit of a delay. Waited 10 minutes. Then I heard another announcement on the train. I'm like, okay, strange. Turned it down. Apparently, there had been trespassers on the line between Clapham Junction and Wandsworth Common.
Of course.
And the driver didn't know whether or not they would be able to move the train right then. But he did assure everyone on the train that we will get some information very soon and we should be on our way. I said, you know what? I'm in no rush. It's about 5:15, 5:20. Probably 5:30 at this point. I'm like, I'm good. I'm fine. It's been an hour since I left work, but I'm still early. Mm-hmm. I'm still early. I waited 15 minutes, 5:45 now, and the driver then comes back with an announcement and he says, ladies and gentlemen, I'm very sorry. We have cleared the people off the train. However, because of the backlog of trains on the line, we won't be leaving Victoria until 7 p.m.
Oh, no, man.
I said, I got to get off this train. I'm not waiting till 7.
Such a no, bruv.
I said, no, I'm not doing it. So I started to think, okay, have I got options? I said, yes. Victoria, Green Park, Green Park, London Bridge, home. Right? Makes sense. I forgot it was 6 o'clock, which meant it was rush hour.
Rush hour in London. Oh, yeah.
Fam, I got off the platform, platform 17 or 18,
gonna,
one of them.
I'm just going to show people your shoes.
Walked all the way back, walked all the way back to the underground. And the way that the underground was backtracked to the stairs,
no.
I said, oh my God. But this was my only way home.
Real life rat race, bro.
This was my only way home. And I literally, at that moment, I said, I don't actually like coming in and commuting. I miss being back at home. Why did I come to work on Monday? I didn't have to be at work, but I thought I needed a routine today.
I'm sorry.
I was really upset. So anyways, I'm walking through, and this is when things start to get a little bit mucky for the pandas, because everybody's trying to push past and whatever. But I'm actually just like, you know what? I don't actually care, because I just want to go home at this point now. Takes me about 20 minutes to get down to the platform down at Victoria. And then I got on a train from Victoria to Green Park. Very busy, very busy. More of a kerfuffle down there. And I'm like, all right, got there. But now there's a journey from platform Green Park Victoria line.
The little walk.
To Jubilee. There's actually even more people on this commute fam, it was like going from one hub to another hub and just being left at the back and just watching miserable people in London just like trying to navigate their way home.
Sorry.
So anyways, I'm at this point, I'm mindlessly walking. Like, I don't even care what's happening. I'm just like, okay, little gap, walk, walk, walk. I don't even know the time. I get down to the Jubilee platform for Green Park. I look to my left, and again, like the traffic, like the people, the human traffic.
It's unsafe at certain point.
Right, the human traffic that was trying to get onto that platform didn't make no sense. So I said to myself, I'm going to go back on myself and get on the train before any of these fuckers get on the train, right? So I'm going to go to Baker Street or Bond Street and
just out here
get on the train back.
London Underground puzzle at this point.
Bruv, but I'm also very, like, pleased with myself, because I'm like, I'm going to get out the train.
Everybody.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So that train comes the wrong way. I'm going back on myself now. And I get off it. I get to, I think it's Bond Street. I go to the now southbound platform. And there's no one there. I'm like, ha! I done it. 3 minutes to the next train, right? Bruv, I hear over the tannoy. Trains on the Jubilee line are partially suspended between Willesden Junction and Waterloo. I said, what the fuck is going on? I said, what the fuck is going on?
So sorry for you and your pandas.
I said, what's going on, bruv? So I'm standing there, and now I have no option. I'm like, what?
You went from being the man with all the options to having zero options.
Bro.
And now you're in Bond Street, which isn't too far away from where you started the journey in the first place.
Bruv, I could have literally got out, walked all the way back to Leicester Square and started my journey again. At this
what time
point,
is this?
Bro, it was probably about 7:15.
So the train from Victoria has also left.
Oh, yeah. It's gone. It's gone.
I'm so sorry.
It's gone. I was so upset. So anyway, luckily, a train did come, packed on that, people stepping on my shoes, get to London Bridge. It didn't stop at Green Park. However,
so you did. There's some joy there.
There was a little bit of joy there. Okay. There was a little bit of joy.
Okay.
Get to London Bridge, jump on a train, get to East Croydon, get a bus home. But I didn't get home until about 8:45 from leaving.
That's
my
4 hours,
bruv, to get home.
Yeah. No.
I was upset.
And you've got dirty shoes.
I was upset. I didn't even clock, bro. I didn't clock until you even said how bad they were today.
People need to see.
I don't want them to see. I don't want them to see.
Well, from a dreary Monday commute.
Yes.
To what made you smile this week?
Oh, bro. Good.
I would like to ask you my one's very simple. So I'm just going to quickly say my one.
Go on.
It's a one word answer.
Okay, cool.
Doesn't need any more elaboration.
Please give it to me.
Arsenal.
Ooh!
That's all I'm going to say. I'm not here to gloat. I'm not here to get overexcited. Arsenal made me smile.
Do you know what's so funny? Yeah? Before you even said Arsenal.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
It's almost like I forgot. Because I actually didn't get a chance to watch the game.
It was so pervy. It was so good.
I didn't get a chance. And I was... And for good reason, which is part of what made me smile. But before I tell you what made me smile, a disclaimer. I haven't had much to smile about this week.
Fair enough.
I haven't had much to smile about this week. And I actually had to think about like what it was that gave me joy for this segment. And I also wanted to say that because I think it's very important to be transparent with like everyone that listens to us, that we don't always have great weeks, innit? We don't always have great weeks. But I'd say a few things. I'd say consistency from myself, you know, like...
Staying on track. No pun intended.
Yep. Being true to myself. And then it would be seeing my grandma, my dad's mother, who is... I think she's nearly 90, probably 90 actually. I went round to her house with a couple of my cousins, saw my cousin's 5-month-old daughter, Sienna.
Different generations.
Yeah, and it was mad. She got to see her great grandma. And
crazy.
It was beautiful, man. So during that time, Arsenal were playing. And my grandma.
Oh, were they playing? Oh, were they
my grandma
playing?
Doesn't have Sky like that, but I had a. That was lovely. So yeah, Arsenal, consistency, being true to self, and my family.
Amazing.
Yes. Which I feel like actually ties in pretty well with like our main topic for discussion today, which I believe is community, right?
Yeah, I mean, we touched on it a little bit last week.
Yeah.
Where we spoke about, well, you spoke about, you were talking about the trends.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That we're going to see this year in advertising. You spoke about community, how important that is.
I did.
But since that conversation, I got to thinking about that word. Because it's become a bit of a buzzword.
It is, in the industry. It is.
And I wanted to kind of explore what community used to be.
Okay.
So go back to like the initial interpretation of community.
Yeah.
How it's evolved slightly, and we can just have a conversation in between.
Okay, interesting. How far back do you want to go?
I mean,
when you're like talking about the genesis of community, because you know when you sent me the list of like not topics, but like the fact that we're going to talk about community, and then I think one of them was like how community evolved. Mm-hmm. Do you know where my head went?
Like caveman times.
Yeah, I went all the way back. I went all the way back, and I was like. All right. Well, what is community like? What is community? What would community kind of look? What would it have looked like back then? And to me, I think community was like a necessity. It's a necessity, isn't it? Like you had to have some sort of community because back then we weren't at the top of the food chain. Like man was getting langed down by pterodactyls and T-Rexes back then.
That's facts.
And all kind of exotic animals.
A young pterodactyl drive-by.
You see what I'm saying, bro? Like,
imagine that.
Bruv. Man just swoop down.
You just chilling and then...
Nap you.
take you to your nest and you're done. You're never seeing your brethren again. Just out there, lone ranger, trying to do hunter and gathering. And then this time you're done.
Flies off,
done, bro. You're done, bro. Imagine that. Imagine, yeah. Imagine walking
through. That is real fear. That's real fear.
Yes, fam. Yeah. So I feel like community back then was done out of necessity. So protection, safety, the sharing of information, like food, all of that.
I would argue that the notion of the word community hasn't really changed.
Nah.
But the application of it has.
Okay, let's talk about that. What do you mean about that? What do you mean by application?
Growing up in inner city London.
Yeah.
One of the first experiences you have of community is your immediate environment, which is playing out.
So yeah.
The local kids in the neighborhood, their parents, and you sort like those are the first people that you connect with outside of your family.
Yeah.
But then you have this thing, this joyous, wonderful thing called Play Center.
Okay.
Otherwise known as a youth club.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not going to go into how many of them have been defunded and the fact that they barely even exist anymore.
Jesus.
But a youth centre was very much, in inner city London, what you would define as community.
Yeah.
It was kids the same age as you, very similar interests, same area.
Yeah.
And you're just having a blast together. And I think when you're exposed to that at such a young age and you feel such a belonging to this group of people, that is your first experience of what community is.
Yeah.
So your immediate area and like your sort of youth club experience. And I think where I would say over 20 years has kind of evolved, and we're now in this sort of age where there's a lot more globalization. People, you can travel anywhere in the world right now. You can be exposed to anywhere in the world right now.
Right.
That those communities have opened up and become a lot more almost too accessible.
Interesting.
And interesting. I'll even give you another example.
Yeah.
Sneaker culture.
Okay, yeah.
Right? If you was a Jordan fan back in the day, we're talking 30 years ago now.
Yeah.
You had to really be in the know. You had to really be ingrained in that community,
fam,
to know when this product was coming out.
It kind of sucks being a sneakerhead nowadays. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean the notion of being a sneakerhead now.
Like you really have to show me your stripes now. Do you know what I mean? Because I feel like, all right, when we were coming up, and I wouldn't say when we were coming up, like when we couldn't afford kicks, because obviously there was a time when we loved trainers, but we couldn't get them. But
when we
started to work and trainers were more accessible to us, right? You would look at the sneaker culture and be like, all right, I just need to know when they're coming out, know where I can get them, and make sure I've saved up enough.
And only a small group of people, aka community, had that information.
Yes.
And it wasn't as accessible.
Right. And now I look at, like, the notion of being a sneakerhead, like, yo, that shit must be fucking tiring. Like, you really have to be on every single app. This is if you don't know somebody that knows somebody or whatever. Because a lot of these people have their links and whatever now. But I feel like you've got to be on all the apps. Hopefully you win the raffle. Hopefully that you get picked. Hopefully that no bot has taken all of your size run. Hopefully you get up at 8 o'clock. Do you know what I mean? Because if you get, God forbid, you wake up at 8:02.
Stress.
Sold out, bro.
Stress.
Like,
but I would argue the concept of a pure sneakerhead is slowly fading away.
I believe so.
The generations that we're starting to see evolve of sneaker enthusiasts, I'm going to call them
sneaker enthusiasts,
maybe not buying products for the right reason.
It's all hype.
And I know we're slightly drifting off here, but I do feel as though, to use the example of a sneaker community, is reflective of how communities have changed and evolved in some way.
I do believe that, like, in their essence, communities have served the same purpose that they always have, or at least some of them. At least some of them. I think a sense of belonging, a place where information is shared, a place where sometimes you feel protected. Do you know what I mean? A place where you can go for solace, and a place where you can learn. A place where you can learn. And I think at their core, a lot of these communities still offer that. Do you know what I mean? If you even look at like, if you look at digital communities now, let's take TikTok as a community for creators. Like, people are learning every single day. People are, like, a share of information is happening every second on that platform. And I feel like the communities have probably changed because they're more accessible now. But I do think that, like, people are finding more communities that reflect themselves because they are now able to find out more about things that they like. I think when we grew up, or even before then,
we were exposed to less.
Exposed to less, which meant our communities were dictated to us by our social climate and what was happening outside. Hip-hop is derived from a social construct. And music, like 70s or 80s, music went for a change in America. DJs started to take sound, like jazz loops, finding breaks, and then MCs will rap over the breaks. And then a community of hip hop is born, and only a few people were exposed to a hip hop community. And then it starts to travel, people start to see it a lot more, and that's when people are like, I like this thing. I want to be involved in this thing. Mm-hmm. And as hip-hop has continued to grow over, I guess, the last 50 years now, right, you're starting to see how it diverges into different pockets of the world. People have different ways of experiencing or articulating their love of the genre. And to some people, hip-hop purists, it's changed for the worse. But for people who are just coming into it now, like, they're making it their own. Do you know what I mean? So I feel like, I think one of the things about community, which is really interesting, is that, like, and I don't want to say this about hip-hop, I just want to say this in general. I think when you have to allow community to grow and allow community to, this is what I think, allow it to become what it's going to become.
It needs to manifest into its own thing without any interruption.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
It needs to be organic.
It has to be organic, because the problem about that is then when you have people that are part of a community from yesteryear or a later time, they'll look at people that love the thing that you love too, but they just have a different way of perceiving or a different perception on it. You look at it in football, for instance, the football community. You look at man like Graeme Souness, and then you look
Graeme
at...
Souness.
Graeme Souness is a former professional footballer who played many years at Liverpool, won countless European Cups, won, I think, the Football League before the Premier League years, was... by all accounts, a very good...
Very decorated footballer.
And now he is a TV pundit who commentates on games and gives his opinion about football in general, right? And he's part of the old guard, or as we're in this conversation, the old community of football. And now you have younger players who are part of this football community that love football, but have a different way of expressing their love for football.
I get what you're saying, yeah.
And it's like, you have to allow, because what he says about young football, Pogba being one of his probably most noticeable targets of his, like, criticism sometimes. You're like, but he still loves the game the same way you love the game, you know? He's just a different way of expressing that love.
I think what you're describing is culture clashes within a community. And I think the fact that we've got to that stage shows, I mean, that would have always happened.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think it shows the nature of how big these communities have become because of globalization. Like, there's more members of these communities.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're talking about it from a more, I guess, how the industry or brands would look at community. And it's really funny because anytime you hear an ad agency or a brand talk about communities, there's almost like this texture. Always like a grassroots feel. It's like they're trying to say the ends.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
yeah. We want to do something for the community. What, for the ends? Yeah, replace community for the ends. And you hear community a little bit different.
So why do you think that is? I mean, I've got my theories.
Because
what's your thoughts on why?
Because
brands are trying to tap into the ends.
The ends, because over the years, the ends, quote unquote, the community has driven culture, and forever, the community has always supported some of these brands. And I think where brands have got to in the last few years, they've realized, some of them do it really well, but they've realized that if they don't support the community or the ends or the people that represent the community, they lose favor with these people from the community.
Got you.
See what I'm saying? I had another point, but I can't remember it now.
So I'll go another question, follow-up question. Then.
Go on.
Define the difference between culture and community.
Okay.
And then talk about how they complement each other or work together.
Okay. Culture is something that comes from community, I think.
It's a byproduct of community.
Yes. You can. Okay. And do you know what? I think I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to think about what I'm going to say, because we think when we're on the pod whilst we're thinking. I think they both drive each other. So culture can come from community, but community can also come from culture. And I think that's when you get the culture clash. I think initially, maybe, that the culture is something that, as we said, like, as I just said, comes from community. So, for instance, the Jamaican community came to the UK, and you get Jamaican culture in the UK. So you get certain words, you get certain vernacular from the Jamaican community. You get a Jamaican culture, you get the food, you get like the music. This drives people to want to be part of this community, and then that creates more culture as people start to see more, feel more into it. So Africans come or Jamaicans merge into African culture, Africans merge into Jamaican culture, British people merge into all of our cultures, and then you get a new community with a new culture, and it just breeds itself, I think.
Yeah, so it's community being the overarching thing, culture being resolved at, and then you have
subcultures
that develop within all of those things as well. Right. Like, there's different layers to it all.
Yeah. What do you think?
Like the difference between the two.
Yeah.
I think like community again. How I define community might be different to how someone else defines community.
Yeah.
But I think, in the simplest form, community is a group of people who identify with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is the core essence of any community.
Yeah.
Whether you're talking about a neighborhood,
people
can identify with each other because they live in the same area. They might have kids go to school together, whatever.
Yeah.
It could be the creative community. Oh, we do similar work. Let's connect. Let's talk.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the gardening community. And I think there's always a mutual understanding of one another that develops.
I would go on to
this connection.
I would argue that you don't get
culture without community.
Yeah, because it's the very essence of what that
what
that is. And when you get a group of people that can identify with one another, you get a lot of like-minded people that can build this thing together.
Mm-hmm. And you can build cultures, right? You have like, do you know what I mean? You can, like, I feel like cultures, obviously culture is like an essence, but it's come from somewhere. But you can build a new working culture. You start a new build a business and you bring a certain vibe to a place. That's your work culture that you've brought into a new business.
I think there's two sides to it, though.
Go on.
Because, I mean, when you said build culture, the way it got my... The reason it got my back up is because...
You actually thinking about it from a
organization, brand perspective, try to build culture.
Right.
I always used to say, you can't build a culture. You can help facilitate. You can help to add to that culture.
Yeah.
But you can't build it.
Caveat for my point. You can only build a culture if it is organic to the people that are trying to make it happen. And I think that's where potentially you've got your backup about brands doing that. Because if a brand was working, and I know we're going back to this conversation, this is literally back to the conversation we had last week. If a brand is working to serve a community, if they have people in positions that are from said community, they know that they can work with that community in the same language, a similar culture that supports it without it feeling performative.
So what about...
Yeah, go on.
If you're a young person who's part of an organization...
Yeah.
Who's been brought in because you're from the community.
Yeah.
And you're inside this...
Diversity quote or an honor.
You're inside this organization. You've got all these cool ideas.
Yeah.
But you realize that that organization isn't necessarily interested in or passionate about the community that you hold so dear to your heart.
Right.
What do you do then?
What do you need from this company? Like, this is a really interesting question. This is, I hate answering this question, number one. Not because I don't want to give the realness. I just think that, like, it depends on the level that you're in. I believe that there are certain lessons you can learn from being attached to a organization that is always going to help you move the way that you need to move outside of your organization. And I think what I've practiced since I was young was take from corporate and give to community.
Okay.
Which is kind of this whole, Robin Hood.
Peter Pan! Shouts out to the Neverland podcast. Time. That was once going to be the name of this podcast until the mandem stopped me in my tracks.
But it's got this
is episode one for the reference.
Yeah, definitely. It's got this Robin Hood feel about, like, you can take what you need from corporate and give it back to your community. Because one thing about community, and our community in particular, is that we've never been given the opportunities or the know-how in how to do certain things. And speaking from my experience of creativity, marketing, and advertising, it's like when we have Black-owned businesses, there's a certain level of, like, quality that, like, sometimes we lack. Sometimes.
Yep.
Not saying that that's across the board, but you're seeing more and more that with the experience that we have by working within corporate structures, we're able to learn more and give back to our communities. That's why so many people are going back to their motherlands and starting up businesses, because they realize there's a lack or a gap of quality, and they now have the opportunity because they've done the time working in specific places. The advice I would give to someone that was in that situation, though, would be, like, do your own thing as well. Do you know what I mean? You can learn just as fast outside as you can inside. You're just picking up, like, you're polishing skills inside of an organization, whereas you're free to make mistakes outside on your own things. And mistakes are just as good learning as getting the thing right and to a standard outside. And I would actually like urge people or young people that are getting into advertising or creative fields to do it as soon as, like, at the same time. Because what you don't want to do is get to a point where you're excelling so well in your corporate side and then you get really scared to start something outside, or you feel like it has to be of the level that you're at work.
Yep.
When really and truly it's like, you can start this thing, it's still new. Like, you might be 5 years in your job or 2 years in your job, but you're still an infant outside of it. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, you're okay to make mistakes over there. So I'd say stay, but also start somewhere as well, because otherwise you might be looking back and say, I had all this time and why didn't I do that? So I would say, like, stay.
Okay.
Yeah. That would be my advice, I think.
So we've spoken about the globalization thing. That's something I'm quite interested in, because I feel it's almost like the analogy I would use is globalization of communities to some people.
When you say globalization, do you mean the explosion? Sorry, I don't even say it. Yeah, the explosion of communities across the world. Do you mean the money that's put in, like the finance that's been put in into communities? Brands basically taking communities and culture across the world. Like, what do you mean by globalization?
Okay. Let me give two examples.
Okay.
Sneaker community is one we've already spoken about.
Yep.
Now, anyone across the world at any given moment can connect, be with, or feel, or say they're part of that community.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. Number two, and maybe a different example, is the sports fan community. A really good example is Formula One.
Yeah.
Formula One have this series on Netflix called Drive to Survive,
which is
coming out again at the end of February, new season.
Great stuff. FYI.
But they've accumulated a bunch of new fans who would now consider themselves part of this community. So they're new to the sport, but would consider themselves part of this. And that's because of the accessibility point that we've spoken about. When I say globalization, it's basically
taking something further afield.
Yeah, it's more of an entry point into this thing.
More acceptable to newcomers to a sport, right?
So the analogy I would use, right, is
because when I think of globalization, I think about the economic effect of globalization.
There is an economic
effect.
And that's been set up very intentionally by brands to maximize on profits.
Yeah, okay.
It's a good thing that more people want these shoes or more people are fans of this sport, because ultimately that's going to boil down to additional revenue. So the question I had was, is it a good thing or a bad thing?
The globalization of communities.
Yes.
This is a very tricky one.
And of course, we're talking about communities from a very commercial standpoint here, because, I mean, if we look at community, such a diverse word.
Yeah.
If we're talking about the black community.
Yeah.
You're either part of it or you're not. You can't necessarily join it overnight.
Well. One would argue that you can't, and there should be certain, criteria for being part of the black community. But
then there are some communities that are more fluid. Like the gender conversation has been a big conversation for the last few years.
Yeah.
And that's even a community within itself. So what I'm starting to see is that the more information there is, and you said it as well earlier, where you spoke about people understanding or coming across, figuring out what they like.
Yeah.
The more access to information that we have, the more we identify with other things.
Yeah.
And that's building out, like, you and I alone,
mm-hmm.
separately, could be part of 20 different communities.
Yeah.
And Some of them could be the same, creative community, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Some of them could be totally different.
Yeah.
And that's because we've been able to hone in on our interests because we have access to more information.
Yeah.
So now I'm kind of segueing into the answer that you, of the question that you asked me back.
Yeah, go on.
Which is, I feel as though the expansion, globalization, whatever you want to call it, of communities mm-hmm. is neither a good thing or a bad thing. It can be both.
Yeah.
Because if you are, let's say you are a kid on the other side of the world, in Australia mm-hmm. or in Japan or mm-hmm. in South, mm-hmm. let's use South Korea.
Okay. I was actually gonna go to Japan because apparently there's a big dancehall and reggae community over there.
Let's stick with Japan. If you're a kid from Japan who all you know or have been exposed to is local Japanese culture, it's amazing, cool. But then your eyes are opened. Furthermore, your ears are opened.
Yes, I like that.
To the bassy yet melodic sounds of dancehall. /
Shake that thing, miss. Can I?
And all of a sudden, your body is overcome with unstoppable movement.
Jordy and Rebecca.
And you can't help get busy, but dance to the music. And all of a sudden, you're on YouTube. It's 4 a.m. in the morning, and you know all the words to Vybz Kartel's latest album. And now all of a sudden, you're part of this community.
Not yet. Not yet.
But you consider yourself to be.
Not yet.
You've got the playlists.
I don't know if you can be part. All right. This is interesting. I don't know if you can be part of a community if there's no community. Because community is also about people, right? So, like, you can be quasi part of a community by, like, to be part of a community, that means that there must be, it's like church, where two or more are gathered, that is church, my friend. So I feel like if you've got a brethren, and now you two are listening to Vybz, then yeah, you got a little community over there in Japan, you get me? But if you're just by yourself, and you have no access to speaking to people, exchanging knowledge, sharing, understanding, getting a breakdown as what does this word really mean in Japanese? How do I translate that? That to me, that's the community part of that.
I'm going to counteract your point.
Okay, go on.
Pause and finish off by saying that to me, that example is a good thing because
yeah, that's great.
People are expanding their horizons.
Yeah.
Now to counteract your point.
Okay.
Two or more people.
Yeah.
You can achieve that digitally.
Oh yeah, 100%. 100%.
You could watch a reaction video.
I mean this as well.
10 kids watching a song and going crazy thinking, yeah. Oh my days, the song's sick.
You have to interact with the community. I mean, so like, even in my head.
Interaction. If you drop a comment, is that interaction?
Yes. So like for me, people always drive community. And I think community can be physical or it can be digital. So like, when I said that, I just imagine this kid just watching, sitting back, being an observer of the community. Like, to be part of a community, you got to be in the community. You got to say, yo, welcome. My name is Daiki Saito from Japan. And I know that's a Japanese name because my brethren used to be called Alan.
I didn't think he was just going to pull out a name from thin air. Like, you're just... That's not you. And that's why I didn't even make a face.
I know. But like, the lack of face was like, how do you...
That seems legit.
So, but like, I can't be Mr. Sato and just watch. Like, I have to be like, yo, I fuck with this. Like, this is sick. Yeah, you have to engage to be part of a community.
Right.
I was going to say something that was quite funny, but I can't remember. It'll come back to me though. Oh, sorry. But interestingly enough, the same way that, like, the Japanese might have a dancehall and Jamaican culture. Bro, do you know how much Japanese culture we grew up on
1,000,000%
in the 90s?
Dragon Ball Z, Yu-Gi-Oh, Pokemon,
all of that, bruv, comes from Japan. Yeah. I didn't even know how much of an affinity that we as black people have with Japan or Asian culture. Kung Fu films, like, all of that, like, we kind of have a similar, like... love for each other, which is quite interesting.
You use that word culture again, and I think to go on to the negative side of communities being more accessible.
Yeah.
Is that within that you have people joining them or wanting to be part of them for the wrong reasons.
Right, right. I think that's a lack of... Okay, go. You go, and I think I'm going to...
And I believe that's because we now live in an era where certain looks or certain optics are portrayed in order for you to be, to have cultural cachet or to be that cool person. And for that reason, a lot of people are trying to associate themselves, with certain things or people to feel socially acceptable.
Mm.
And I think...
Where I go now?
Mm? And I think now, especially, and again, we're going to use our word globalization, there always seems to be a one trend going on around the world.
Yeah.
And everyone's behaving and doing stuff.
I like the way you're stepping through this, my friend.
And so, for me, there's...
I fucking love
that
Yaf,
question.
You know?
There's that question.
I love Yaf. Listeners, I love Yaf. I love Yaf.
There's that question. So that's all I have to say on that.
I fucking love you.
No idea what you're talking about.
Do you know what? Here's something for me that kind of arose, and I might get back to where you were going because I don't mind diving in headfirst into it. But would you say that you have to be accepted within a community before you are part of that community?
Well,
because this is interesting. I feel like before, before, I feel like you had to be accepted. I think
the acceptance comes with the culture part. Because cultures, as we spoke, how I have it in my head, community is the overarching thing.
Yeah.
You know, if you move house tomorrow, and you move to Waterloo, you're part of the community in Waterloo by default. Whether you are neighborly to the surrounding people that live around you, you might be playing loud music and pissing off your neighbors, and maybe you're not accepted by the community because you're going against the grain, going against the culture of what it means to live in Waterloo.
Okay.
So I believe culture is the click down of community.
Okay.
That is where the acceptance conversation comes in.
Yes. Yeah. Because I do feel like there are people that understand the culture, respect the culture, and want to do right by the culture. But sometimes the community just don't want you to be part of that. You can't actually be part of that community because, like it or not, there's always going to be part of that community that isn't quite yours.
Let's use a really practical example.
Go on.
We identify as males.
Yes.
There are certain things we will never be able to understand about women.
Yes.
And what they go through, like, because that is a community.
Yes.
And we've spoken before about women's safety and stuff like that, and we've had very nuanced conversations. But that's a real life example of what you're saying there.
Yes, yes, yes. You're right. You are right. Because the reason why I asked that question, I was like, I was thinking about that whole, like, so what if young Japanese dancehall lover wants to be accepted by the dancehall community? Like, I in my mind, I'm thinking, I think it's different layers, though. Like now I'm thinking about it. I think there's different layers because
they've now created a subculture.
Yeah, but all right, look at hip hop and rap, for instance. Yeah, like in order for you to be, and say you're a rapper, in order for you to be accepted by certain rappers or the elites or whoever, like there's gatekeepers that have to open the door for you, in a sense, if you want to be part of that community. Do you know what I mean? You have to... Say, for instance, your favourite rap... J Cole and Nas, for instance, yeah? J Cole made that song, Let Nas Down, because of... I can't even remember what the song's called now, but obviously he sampled Workout by Kanye West, and Nas thought it was shit, and...
I feel like J. Cole took a little bit of offense to it because, you know, that was his favorite rapper. He used to hang his lyrics on the wall. And for him, he wanted his acceptance. And I guess of those elites, if his favorite saying, oh, man, like, dude, it's ass trash. I feel like that you'd need that acceptance for him to be like, okay, now you're part of this community.
Yeah, I get the example.
Do you know what I mean?
I do think if it's an opinion-based thing,
okay,
that we're opinion having the same based conversation.
Yeah, okay.
Of, is it community or is it culture? And
interesting.
And then who set up that community? If we're talking about a community of elite rappers,
yeah,
who decides that or who set up? If Jay-Z, Nas, Kanye West, Drake, and Kendrick said, "Hey,
yeah,
we are officially setting up this community of elite rappers,"
yeah,
we will from here on outwards.
Certain man will have certain things to say about those four or five that you just mentioned.
Yeah, just picked up some people that do numbers.
Okay, you left J. Cole left over.
J. Cole, throwing him all the way in there. Yeah, he's 100% in there. People, sorry if the people are left out.
Yeah. Those are yes.
But there are communities that are intentionally set up. And this is an interesting point because I do feel now what we're starting to see are more offline communities.
People coming together,
having conversations, or people coming together and celebrating.
Yeah.
Being part of the same community. Like you look at one of our friends of the show, Osborne, who does the sickest party in Amsterdam.
Stu?
Yes, sir.
Okay, yes.
And that is essentially a community because it's like-minded people who love the same music, all on a very similar vibe.
Yeah.
Like there's never any bad vibes there.
Mm-hmm.
Great music, great guests, great DJs, artists come and take part. And that's another expression of community there. It's just a different form.
Yeah.
So I feel like this offline concept of community is becoming more of a thing as well.
Okay.
And I think that's where people are really starting to hone in on that physical, interpersonal facet of what community is.
I feel like community, I think you're right about that as well. I think the pandemic allowed online communities to flourish.
Massively.
But it also allowed people to realize and appreciate how much they need physical communities and offline communities too, where they can be around people that can speak to people in the flesh, because those 2 years were were hard for everybody, for yourself, for me, for everybody that was going through moments of uncertainty, of knowing when and where it would be safe to meet up and have a conversation or give someone a hug. And I think now that we are approaching like some sort of like, in fact, we are here, it's gone. Like we're in this like new world where we have survived those 2 years of being locked up. We really crave offline communities. And I think that's where people want to be. But also, I think there's a duality there where, or at least just a hybrid of like, you know where you can go for certain things and you know what you're going to get in real life too. There's a real merge of...
mixed reality.
Yeah, I think some people do only live their lives online or live a certain, a specific life online, and they live a completely different life in like reality.
So let's try to summarize the conversation that we've had.
Okay.
And let me ask you where you think...
Okay, this is interesting.
...the future concept of community is going.
Have you ever watched a film called Ready Player One, Surrogates, and there's another one, I think, with Bruce Willis? I genuinely think,
I have not. It's the answer to those questions.
I do think... I watch a lot of sci-fi, dystopian films, lots of Black Mirror. And I do believe that, like, whenever we see things like that, they're just preparing you for the future. And not anywhere in the near future, because obviously Meta have got to do their job on the metaverse and all of these things and whatever. But I do genuinely believe that there's going to be, like... like real life, well, sorry. Yeah, real life experienced online. So like some people are going to live their lives.
Okay.
And that's going to be their real life. And when they unplug from there, the life...
It's another version of their life.
It's just another version of their life. It's an extension of their life. Do you know what I mean? Okay. It's like, you know how some people, and I know it's really interesting, it's like escapism. Some people use different forms of escapism. Some people are going to use online communities as a space to escape from what they are currently living.
Would you not argue that's currently happening?
It is so happening. It is
in
happening.
This creator economy, creator universe that we see where everything online is driven by creativity and creators. Yeah.
But I think more people are going to spend more time. And then it's not just going to be like through a phone anymore. I do believe it's going to be like AR, VR, like that sort of territory where you don't have to, because like, it is happening now. People live their lives on their phones and you are seeing it's 2D, right? Yeah, I feel like later on down, I'm going to be like, yo, yeah, I'm coming round, put my headset on, I'm there. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I've got a virtual reality headset.
Yeah, yeah.
Meta Quest 2, it's great. And honestly, you put it on and you feel like you're in another world.
Yeah, man.
You put it on and you're looking around and it's totally immersive. So you're looking around and I feel like I was on an island in Bali.
But do you know what's really interesting with this now?
And it's also to add, sorry.
Go on.
It's rumored that Apple are going to be launching a VR headset this year as well. So, and there's multiple companies have them. So the more that happens and the more accessible they become, the more that this concept of virtual reality becomes
a reality,
a scalable thing that people have access to.
And what I was going to say, though, which is, I guess, which tacks back onto the globalization of community. As we start to see these things start to roll out, we're always able to... So far, when we go online, we're probably 70%, maybe more, 80-90% sure that the person that we see is the person that presents themselves. When we go into virtual worlds, I do believe that like some people might become the person that they always wanted to become. They might identify with a community way more than they could do in their real life and become that person. So then the whole idea about community and the globalization of community
becomes more flexible,
it becomes way more flexible, becomes way more fluid. And then it's like, how do you know if that person is actually genuinely from that community that they say they're from? Because then it's like, all right, now Daiki Sato from Japan knows all the lingo, and in the virtual world, he's a Rasta from Jamaica.
That's who he wants to be.
That's who he wants to be. Not saying that obviously he wants to be, but maybe that's my online avatar. This is me. Do you know what I mean? And then it's like, who are you to tell my man that he's not?
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all.
No, I know, but you could do that online. You can't do that in real life. Because look. I saw something recently. I don't know who the woman is. But there's a woman who said that she identifies as black. She's not.
Rachel Dozier.
Even her, but there's a next person who who is white. White like Father Christmas.
Okay.
And she says that she identifies as being black. And you're like, that nagasa. You can't do that.
If it's what we call a protected characteristic.
Yeah.
Something that is, you know, your religion
yeah.
or your ethnicity,
mm-hmm.
that is something that can't be taken away from you. Yeah. Arguably, you could change religion.
Yeah.
You know, all of that stuff. But I do believe there are certain things that are, you can't currently argue with.
Yeah.
But I do actually see your point in the sense that these things could be a lot more interchangeable.
Yeah.
And how do you govern that? And how do you...
Mm. And should you govern it?
Should
you govern it?
Exactly. No, it's very interesting.
You know what I mean? And then when... And I know we're going to wrap up, but then when do those lines blur? Because then it's like, what laws do you bring online and what laws are in place online? Because obviously those two worlds exist. Yeah. One of them is virtual, but there's still real people in there. Do you know what I mean?
And I think tech companies are going to have a huge really job on their hands when it comes to maintaining the integrity of
really interesting
what these platforms do and how they how people use them.
Yeah, man. It's going to be really interesting.
Okay, so before we wrap up,
okay,
I want to hear your final definition of community.
Ooh, a community is where two or more people are gathered to online or offline to share information, to feel a sense of belonging, and to provide each other with, I guess it's the same as sense of belonging, but provide each other with a sense of security.
Okay.
What about you?
Community for me is a group of people who identify with each other based on, could be in multiple things.
Mm-hmm.
Could be like-mindedness.
Yeah.
It could be a shared belief.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It could be same color.
Yeah, yeah.
So for me, community is a group of people who identify with one another for whatever reason that may be.
And for the record, one more time, how would you describe culture?
Culture is the result of community. It's the organic result of communities coming together, and culture is almost the output of that.
Culture.
So whatever happens from community coming together and sharing that like-mindedness or enjoying that like-mindedness, culture is the output of that.
I agree with you.
Here at the Out of Home Podcast, we encourage all communities to get along and be friends. If you disagree with anything you've heard on this pod, our lawyer's number is 0532719 6, and you can share any of your concerns there. Thank you for listening to us.
Say for listening.
We appreciate you. If you agree or disagree with anything we've said, please feel free to hit us up.
Please do.
In the DMs. You probably won't like or subscribe the podcast by us telling you to do it, but if you haven't, it would help us a little bit.
A lot.
Probably don't believe that.
A lot of it.
It's fine. Thank you for listening to us.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much
for the conversation,
man.
As always.
Yeah, definitely, my brother. Definitely. I love it.
We go again next week.
Yeah. All right, you've been listening to the Out of Home Podcast with Kieran and Yaf. Splash Brothers in the building. Shout out to the mandem, and we'll catch you next week. Blah.
Peace out.
Later.
You London boys are crazy.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.